Let's sing as we go, young people. Tiptoe, tiptoe in God's house. Tiptoe, tiptoe, quiet as a mouse. Tiptoe, tiptoe in God's house. Tiptoe very softly. Tiptoe, tiptoe in God's house. Tiptoe, tiptoe in God's house. Tiptoe, tiptoe in God's house. God bless. Appreciate you being here. This year, I've chosen, instead of having an extra speaker to be up this way, to choose to serve those who are driving our young people up this way and helping us out. Some of you will be going off to take care of the lunchtime very shortly. But now, to begin with, I've chosen to be the person to do this sort of thing. We had five different sections of things on the page for the advertisement for the youth day. The Good Samaritan led off, and it's in Luke chapter 10 that we find this account. In Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan was one who was illustrated by Jesus to be one who was not well thought of, as Brother Dennis has noted in his lesson to us. The Jewish people did not appreciate very much at all those who had intermarried and those who had found themselves in an inner relationship area, and they found themselves against God's way, and they were not clean as the Jews thought that they should be. And as a result, this is an unusual account. Because there was a certain man, it is said, that was running out of Jericho. And he was headed down the hillside, the mountainside, and fell among thieves. The thieves were hidden in the crevices of the rocks. And as a result, he didn't know they were there. He didn't see them up ahead. And before he knew it, they had jumped on him and beat him within an inch of his life, stealing all that he had, taking it away from him, and going along their way. And there were those who came on down that path because it was a common path from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it was downhill all the way. And they found themselves being on that way and seeing this man in such a condition as he was. He was not dead, but he was really, really injured greatly. In regard to this matter, you see a certain priest who came by, and a certain Levite who came by. Levites were of the priestly tribe. No doubt he was a servant, and maybe headed toward being one who was recognized as a priest. But certainly they were people whom God thought would be close to the law, close to understanding the law, and the idea of mercy. God has said many times in the Old Testament Bible, for people to be merciful and kind and helpful one to another. And along the way, they walked by, looked on him, and the scripture says, passed by on the other side. Now the other side was a far away side, far enough away that they wouldn't be anywhere close to him. Then there was a certain Samaritan who came. Not well thought of at all. The least of those three men that would be thought of to be paying compassion and attention to this man in need. And he looked upon him, and the scripture uses that word. He had compassion upon him. He cared for him. And as he cared for him, he really had an extra effort, looks like. Put him on his own beast, a burden, as he was traveling along the way, and took him down to Jericho and found there a certain inn for spending the night, spending the day, whatever. And thereby, he told the innkeeper, take care of him. I must go on my journey. I must go on my business. I must tend to things that I will do. But if you'll take care of him, I will come back on my trip by this way, and I will repay you what it's cost you to care for him. He was a man that no doubt this man had known before and was a trusted man. Though a Samaritan, he was a good man. He offered helping hands to somebody in need. Now in Luke chapter 17, we're introduced to the lepers who called to Jesus. And a wonderful account was given by Brother Dennis in the former lesson. I'll not do that here. But to say the idea was the nine did not extend any word of gratitude. Now, there were deeds of gratitude done by the Samaritan who helped the man on the road to Jericho. Words were not the words that he used, but deeds were really done in a good way. And now it was the words of Jesus saying, go and show yourself to the priest. And nine kept on going. Jesus made a point of the man who turned back, came to him, fell down at his feet and praised God and worshiped him, thanking him for what he had done. As a result of that, Jesus raised this great question of the ages. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 12, we read the third of this particular study. The idea of Paul and his love for the young preacher Timothy. Timothy had grown up in a family that knew God's Word. His mother and his grandmother had taught him the Word of God, and he was very familiar with it. And as Paul came through preaching the gospel at Lystra, he saw this young man, and this young man heard his message and understood that that message represented what he had been reading of the prophets all through the years with his mother and his grandmother. As Eunice and Lois found themselves happy with him, and he responded and obeyed the gospel, Paul sent him over to Ephesus to do some work there and do it in a wonderful way. And he wrote here in 1 Timothy 4, 12 to Timothy about this. And he said, let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believer. Now in this particular passage, we find 1 Timothy 4, 12, how that he was in the city of Ephesus. And there would be people there who were a part of every kind of idolatry. There was a temple of Diana that was really praised there high. Worldly living would be done. And for somebody to come in and talk about the love of Jesus, compassion, mercy, kindness, forgiveness, was just something odd, and they would be very critical of him. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example, be a tupos. The word for example, tupos, meaning the form in which metal is poured in order to make it hold the image. And as a result of taking it out and cooling it, you see the image of Caesar, you see the image of wheat, or you see the image that was there imprinted upon it. Here he wants the image of this Christian young man to be imprinted upon the hearts of those that work with him and see him. Be an example of the believer. Example in six ways. A word. Of the words that you say. The choice of words will make a difference. Back in the book of Proverbs, vividly it is said, the power of life and of death is in the tongue. Of course, that is true. And as a result, there's a difference in words being said that will bring about a fight and a challenge and words that are merciful, kind, and you might say helpful. Helpful words. If we're choosing to be a good example, we'll choose words that are going to be helpful and good. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer, a gentle answer, turns away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. So if we get to using grievous words, even at a ball game, it'll stir up anger. We'll find ourselves not doing good if we'll be followers of what Paul said to Timothy, be an example in the words that you use. Then he uses the word conversation. And conversation to us in our English day and time means the words that we speak, the choice of words that we make, the conversation between individuals. But originally that word conversation meant manner of life. Now manner of life is involved with others, of course. The idea about being around others, and instead of offering them a byline so that we'll figure out just how far we can talk with them and how far we can go with them, we'll find ourselves as this way of life that we don't want to follow and don't want to do. Because that conversation will lead us to sin and wrongdoing. That conversation will lead us to wickedness and being practiced in wickedness. If we choose a conversation of life that is more God-like, more Jesus-like, more forgiving and more caring, more telling the truth, it's a conversation that we have that somebody will trust us when we take their child. We'll offer to take a child. I don't have time to go to that particular event. Somebody will say, I'll take them. And we'll trust them because we know their conversation is a good driver in automobile, a concerned and thoughtful person in life. And this person will get them there on time. They'll get them there back home on time too. There'll be a wonderful conversation, manner of life that'll be practiced. And then Paul said to Paul, word and conversation and in charity, in the kind of love that you have. The word agape is used here by Paul in this reference to the charity, meaning God-like love. Have God-like love for people. That means different than just brotherly love. Brotherly love is brotherly because of compassion and kindness and working with in a family. But if you find yourself being like God, you want that person to be saved from sin. Since back under 750 years before Christ, Isaiah spoke regarding the Savior who would come and save all men. The idea of coming to save people is the love of God. Let's live in such a way with the words that we use and the manner of life that we live. Let's talk in such a way to them in regard to love like God would have us to love people. Saving people. Looking forward to their hope for the suffering. That's why, I'm not disappointed this morning in the sense of people who are here. I'm praising, and the ideas of people here are wonderful. Songs are good, and the sermons are good, and the ideas are good. The craft will reinforce the whole thought and ideas of this. But the concept is that if we find ourselves disappointed with those who are not here, there are people who make promises as I walk with them and talk with them. And wrote to them. There are people who made promises that are not kept. I don't want you to realize, and we wouldn't be saying that they're liars to us this morning, but they have made promises that have not been kept. At least as many as are here have made verbal promises over the last 7 months. I will be there. I will be there. Remind me, I'll be there. On Facebook last night, yesterday afternoon, we wrote about tomorrow and wrote all the names of people who would be out here with us tomorrow, seeing and hearing things that are good and godly, part of agape love. Have that to be part of your love. And then, spirit, the manner of life that you show that you're excited about good things, you're excited about godly things, you're excited about the songs that are sung and the ideas that are stated and the amens that are said for it. You find yourself speaking those things that really are helpful to your life and to others around you. It's good to have that to be done. In the spirit of life that you show, people will want to be around you at that time. And then we follow up with the ideas of not only spirit but faith. Have a faith in, believing. We believe that the more that we do this on third Saturdays of February, we'll evaluate it. If the things have changed, and as young people said 6 years ago, that their days and opportunities were more open on Saturday, third Saturday of February. That's why we're on third Saturday of February. That we have the times like we don't have the events going on. If things have changed for them, and we find out that those things have changed, then we'll make adjustments with it. Perhaps we'll go to another month and another week and another weekend idea. But that not yet. We want to do it over and over again, consistently doing that. Our spirit of it is that we're going to enjoy that way of life. We have belief in it. We believe that it does good. For all who are here today, it'll be a life-changing, perhaps experience for several. We hope and pray that that's the case. And then he says, be an example in purity. As you work with people and activities around people, there are times to go to the bathroom. There are times to go eat. There are times to go to an event, a party. There's times to go to a play. If along the way with that, you're not pure in your speech and in your mannerisms of life. If you find yourself being a person who touches others inappropriately. If you find yourself being impure in thought and mannerisms. And suggestion maybe is made that we go to this particular movie. It's R-rated, and that's what I really want to see. Then purity is not the good example that we should show. If we find ourselves without a helping hand of someone who's pure in life, I could have done a lot of things in life if I had not had this construction when I was a young person. I could have carried them a lot of places as I was a driver for them and that way. And they can go ahead and do whatever they want to do. But purity, remembering, he didn't get drunk. He didn't drink while we were with him. He didn't use these kind of words when we were with him. He didn't go to those kind of movies when we were with him. He didn't make this kind of vulgar touch when you were with him. That makes a difference in life. And that's the way that Paul says, Timothy, be an example of belief. Be in words and conversation and in purity. Be a person in life who finds yourself enjoying the relationship with others. That's the way that the Bible tells us we can be a helping hand to others. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he helped us by giving his own son. I know I've added those words, and he helped us by giving his only son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The idea of doing God's will and God's way shows us that we find ourselves looking back to the love of God. He really did love us and does love us, continues to want to work with us. And as the words of 1 Peter 3 and verse 12 tells us, his eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. The Lord continues on even today to love us. And his eyes are over the righteous. Why does he see the righteous? He wants to see what people are doing so that they will be blessed with God. The one wonderful work of God is a part of our lives. When Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 8, he says that all things will work together for good. And he said, Father, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those that are the called for his purpose. The call according to his purpose are those who are living a righteous way of life. And in living that righteous way of life, what are the eyes of God seeing? What are his ears hearing? Prayers that are offered for a wonderful day and a wonderful time. And I trust that even this lesson is a great help to everyone hearing it now and on the net as we go along and advertise it through that. We find ourselves enjoying the ways of God. In the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus helped the seven churches of Asia Minor. He helped them by way of his writing. Using the Spirit of God to write to them, the angel of the Lord wrote to them and telling them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now, these seven congregations found themselves, some being praised greatly, and some being criticized severely. These seven congregations found themselves with ears that all would say to one another. What a statement to make. He that hath ears to hear, well, sure, we have ears to hear, but do we really hear it? We studied on Wednesday night the difference between a word that means for us to receive some of God's messages and receive something and lambano, put it into practice. There's a difference between just hearing even the word of the Lord and, okay, that's nice, that's good, and I want to put that in practice. I want to do what he said to do here. I want to be that kind of person. And these seven congregations are instructed to hear with their ears in a proper way. No doubt they were to receive lambano. They were to put it into practice. What did the church in Ephesus need to do? Well, they needed to overcome that loss of their first love. What was that first love? I've said for years, we don't know exactly what that first love was. We can guess and surmise, but I don't know everything about it. But the idea of the love that they had when they began this journey in serving the Lord at the church at Ephesus, a congregation there that noted earlier, Paul said, Timothy, go to Ephesus and do this work here. The teaching that was done resulted in people being converted. Here was a church group that was there, and they had lost their first love. This was important to the Lord. They had resisted false teachers that had come among them. Successfully, they had resisted them. They had not yielded to those false teachers that came to Ephesus. But in leaving their first love, look what the Lord says. I will come to you quickly and remove the candlestick, which represents the whole church, the identity of the church. Take that, Revelation chapter 1, the last two verses. The candlestick represented the identity of the church belonging to the Lord. And what happened here was, I will come unto you quickly and remove the candlestick from out of its place, except thou repent. You need to change this idea of the love that you love. I'm sure of this one thing. I'm certain of this one thing. They knew what love it was that they had that they no longer do. Just like maybe we. If we find ourselves doing this sort of thing, we love to do it, but discouraged by the numbers that begin to dwindle and time away, and we left that first love. We didn't do that anymore. We didn't practice that anymore. We didn't think about that anymore. And we heard the Lord say, hey, listen to what I'm saying. If you have left that first love, you need to repent. You need to turn away from that and go back to that first love again. If it was a love that they missed in regard to reaching out to the lost, making a visit, inviting a person to a gospel meeting, a youth day, or an activity event of the church. Good lecture programs and activities could be missed by somebody not knowing, but they're invited at least to come and be a part of. First love is important. The church at Smyrna and the church at Pergamos, while they are complimented in regard to their ways and their ideals, but there were some among them that had died. Not all of them had died. At Sardis, they found themselves not doing what God's will was at all. What did this letter say to them? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Listen to what we're saying. Come back to God. Come back to his right way. Some of those congregations we hope did come back to his way. And maybe through the years of coming on, there are people who... Well, this congregation I knew once upon a time, I knew all the folks here, they are now passed away. They are out here in the Sweet Cemetery that's here. the ideas of their, what they live by and what they practice by are things that they have now had to leave beside because they passed on to life's other side. If we're people who love the Lord in His righteous way, we'll be people who follow up with helping hands in the words that we speak, in the deeds that we do, in the mannerisms of life that we recognize and have compassion for in life. God bless you all, and thank you for being here. And I'm sure that there's a helping hand that can be offered somewhere on the way in the kitchen area, for sure. God bless y'all. Any questions that you have on the way? Good to be with you.
I think it's important to note on the candlestick being removed.
Yes.
So many people feel like they stand on a line and they jump to one side, and I'm in God's favor, and I'm mess up and I'm out of God's favor and I'm back in God's favor, and that's a miserable way to live.
Yes, it is.
And God didn't say, I have removed your candlestick.
Yeah.
And that shows a lot of grace and mercy on His part.
Yeah.
That allows us to have some confidence in our lives that yes, we mess up, but He's long-suffering. He gives us the opportunity to repent, not to stay in that
not
situation. Otherwise, Revelation 2 would say, I have removed your candlestick, repent, and I'll put it back. That's not what he said. He said, don't live this way after you know.
Yeah.
Or John's account, don't continue living this way, or else I will remove your candlestick.
Yeah.
You know what you ought to do, and that's a comfort to us. You know, if I live in that way, yes, it's going to be removed. If I've messed up, I have the opportunity to repent before it. And that's a lot of grace and mercy and long-suffering on the Creator's part.
Mm-hmm. He loves us and cares about us. Coach Woods will be here this afternoon, and no doubt he will tell us some stories in regard to his work with team members that came in, good ball players, but they needed to become part of the team. How important it is to be part of the team. And once he saw them out on the field and they were not running the route properly, and he would call upon them to, well, recognize that this is the way that you run this route. This is the way I want you to run this route. This is the way I want you to do it. Along the way. And they didn't continue to do it. Then he would call them back. They would be sitting on the bench for a little while someone else that would run the route was out there. And if he didn't, they would be pulled back. And they would be important. It's important to do that. What a blessing. We look forward to him being here at noon today. Good to be with you. Let's go help somebody. Yes.